Let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we are gathered together to hear from Thee. We pray that our minds, our hearts would be turned unto Thee, that we may be affectionate unto Thee, that we may desire to hear what Thou hast said. Deliver us, Lord, from our prejudices, from our own perceptions and ideas, that we may truly hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst edify this congregation, that Thou wouldst build us up together in the hope of the gospel, that we may function as Thou hast ordained that we should function. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst hear us, direct our thoughts, bless the preaching of Thy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, we have seen last week how the Lord uses diversity to create unity. He gives us dependence on one another. Necessarily, we are not independent, and we don't serve the Lord independently. That's very much the spirit of North America, that we are sufficient unto ourselves. And we think of the song, Me and Jesus Have a Good Thing Going. We don't need anybody else. We are all right by ourselves. That's not the instruction that we receive from God's Word. Paul gives us instruction about the spiritual gifts and how they're to be ministered in the congregation. And he uses an illustration that we all can understand. And I say that because we all have bodies. We may not think so very specifically about how your body functions, but we all have them. And Paul says, look at the way your body functions as an example of how the church is to function, or the members of the church are to function together. We take for granted how our bodies function until they don't. And then one part of your body all of a sudden becomes very, very noticeable. And you want to fix it. You want to heal it. You don't want that distraction. You want everything in your body to work together properly. So Paul says here, there's a correspondence, there's a connection between how your body functions and how the body of Christ ought to operate. So we want to look this morning at three things: the spiritual body, the physical body, and then the caring body. Paul speaks about the spiritual body in verses 12 to 14. And the principle is really an extension of what he said earlier in this chapter. There's one body, but there are many members. In verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So he makes that point twice. Many members, one body. Diversity, but unity. Everything is working together the way that it should. He picks that up in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. And the parallel here, he is saying, so also is Christ. Isn't it interesting how he declares that? He doesn't say, so also is Christ's congregation, or Christ's church. He says, so also is Christ. Why do you suppose he does that? Is by doing that, is he saying that Christ is essential, is this body? That this church, this local congregation, is Christ. That Christ is here, that he's present, that we have a very close connection with his representation on earth, and how, not only how the world perceives Christ, but how, as we relate to one another, we perceive Christ. We have to be very careful not to overstep that analogy, but very much, he says, so also is Christ. So he functions, Christ functions through a local congregation or local congregations, plural. We're not the only church. We have fraternal relations with the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Some people say the OPC stands for the Only Perfect Church. And they do so making fun. But there's a tendency to just be that. We do believe that we own the truth, that we possess the truth, that there's error that we're defending against and being protected against. There's truth that we're proclaiming. And so we want to be a true church, a faithful congregation. We're not the only church. We need to just be careful of that in our own thinking, to have the breadth of understanding of how a congregation operates. But the congregation is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to Paul. Christ is powerfully united to this congregation. And beloved, if you don't believe that, you should seek another congregation. Your soul must desire to be connected with a congregation where Christ is, where Christ is preached, Christ is proclaimed, where we may have some doctrinal differences, but still united as we seek to have even those differences point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our common denominator is sin, isn't it? It's the only thing that we bring together to this is our sin. But not just our sin, we're sinners redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have nothing really to point to ourselves. We're all united by God's grace to acknowledge that we need Christ and that we are nothing without Him. We're bound for hell if we have no salvation in Christ. So just as Christ, then Paul said, Christ is united to the congregation in Corinth 2,000 years ago, He's united to this congregation in Edmonton. We need to be very... We don't want an ecumenism that means that our local congregation means nothing. This text teaches very much that this congregation is something in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. So he talks about the unity of that body. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So in spite of our differences, and the difference between Jew and Gentile was powerful 2,000 years ago. In Ephesians 2, Paul talks about breaking down the middle wall of partition. There were prejudices on both sides. There were all kinds of misconceptions that needed to be cleared up and worked through. It was very, very difficult because a lot of those beliefs and understandings were entrenched in a person's very thought and life. And they had to be rethought. They had to be reworked. The Jew had to be able to say, that Gentile is my brother. It was very difficult. Very, very difficult. Today we would call it racism. But it had to be overcome. He is my brother. Why? Because Christ died for his sins as he died for my sins. And so all of those things had to be set aside. Whether you're bond or free, whether you're a master or a servant or a slave, we're together. We're on the same level. And he might be your master at his home or at his work. And you're a servant, but here at church, everyone is together. Everyone is on the same level, has the same union to Christ. And that unity is illustrated by baptism. Not just the baptism of the Spirit in regeneration, but water baptism, which brings you into membership in the congregation. That visible sign of union with Christ. That we all identify, that we all have in common, that we are baptized by that one Spirit. And we have been made to drink into one spirit as well. Very interesting that the reformers, Luther and Calvin, the magisterial reformers, saw in that phrase a picture of the Lord's Supper. So they see both of the sacraments here, baptism and the Lord's Supper. It was interesting to me that Charles Hodge denied that. He didn't think that that was in the text. But it's an interesting consideration as well. In any case, we're made to drink into one spirit. The symbolism there is what's most important. We are baptized by the Spirit. We are brought into nourishment by the Holy Spirit as well. So there is the principle of the spiritual body and the parallel brought between the body and the church. This is a principle that is largely rejected in our Western world. Paul cannot possibly be talking here about the invisible church. We talk about the invisible church as all those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ in history, geographically, time, all of those things set aside, all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We refer to that as the invisible church. Those who are united to Christ by faith. What Paul is speaking about here cannot possibly apply to that. All this applies only to a local congregation. Otherwise, none of it makes sense. It requires a physical connection with one another in order to make it work. We need to be present with one another. That was really the heart of the objection of many faithful churches to the restrictions that were brought about by COVID. That we can't gather digitally. We can't gather online. We can all view the same service. We can all hear the same message. But we're not gathering. That was often the word that was used there. We cannot exercise the gifts if we're in our own homes. We need one another. And beloved, this is something that we as a congregation need to work at. It's something that we can improve on immensely. Many of us, and I include myself, would be characterized as introverts. Just leave me alone in my house, in my study, with my book, and I'll be fine. And you don't bother me, and I won't bother you. And some of us need to really work to overcome that. And we need people who are more extroverted to encourage us to do that. And we need just those two classifications of people. Which are generally accepted, I think, in our social understanding of how we get together. We need each other. So the introverted person can't say, oh, that person's so mouthy, always talking, always aggressive, always moving, can't sit still for a minute, just quiet down and read a book. The extroverted person says, what are you doing squirreled away when you could be so useful in the kingdom of God? You need to get out there and do something. And we have to be careful to encourage one another to come together. And it's because it's difficult. It's difficult for an extrovert to see the value of an introvert. It's difficult for an introvert to see the value of an extrovert. But the church is a place where those distinctions are really worked through. Because we need to value one another in the image of God, as image bearers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a powerful argument. This whole section here, this whole book really of 1 Corinthians, is a powerful argument for church membership. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 5. When a man who was sleeping with his stepmother, Paul says, put him out of the church. Excommunicate him. eliminate his membership. He's not to be identified with the church as long as he continues in sin. And the exhortation was well received because he repented, and they brought him back. And they didn't bring him back. There was a lot of controversy because some didn't want to receive him, and some were welcoming him with open arms. This is a very challenging thing for the Corinthian church to work to. And it is for us as well. It ought to be. Because we have a lot of prejudices that we need to overcome and work through. So this has nothing to do with people who are providentially hindered from attending services. We have people who cannot leave their homes for various reasons. Infirmities, maybe paraplegics, quadriplegics. Could be through old age. Could be that they're just unable to leave their homes. That's a whole different thing. So often we look for exceptions to the rule, and we need to start with the rule. We can't reject the rule in order to favor certain exceptions. There's a general rule, and it's very clear here in the Word of God. I think it's very interesting that through COVID, there were two types of people. Again, if we can classify them, there are people that became very comfortable just watching services in their home, and other people who just missed being with God's people, missed being in fellowship, missed interacting with one another. And it wasn't always an introvert-extrovert distinction. There were people who said, I need to be with God's people. And when I'm not there, something's wrong, something's missing. And I'm not growing the way that I should. So we need to be aware of those distinctions as well. So Paul talks there about the spiritual body. He wants you to see that connection. And then he talks about the physical body and draws out lessons from that. Brings out the lesson of dissatisfaction. Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? There's a problem in Corinth. They had various gifts, and everybody wanted the gift of tongues. Everybody wanted the gift of prophesying. The greater gifts, the gifts that had a presence. That people could notice and evaluate and talk about. So there was a dissatisfaction, and there can be a dissatisfaction in the church as well. So what if your foot, Paul says, wished it were a hand? It'd be kind of crazy, right? Your phone rings and you say, well, I'm going to pick it up with my foot and put it to my ear and talk that way. It's absurd. It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because your body wasn't built that way. And it doesn't make sense in the church for you to want to have somebody else's gifts if you don't have them. So you need to understand how you can best serve the congregation of the church. There's a problem with significance in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So if we need that diversity in order to function. We can't all do the same thing. What if the foot thought that it was more important than the hand? Well, it is when you're walking, but it's not when you're shaking somebody's hand or when you're eating your food. You need those things in their appropriate places. So I'm only a part of the body, so I'm not really that important. And that is a terrible way to think. And it brings you in a place of insignificance. Why am I here? What's my purpose of being here? I'm kind of a nobody sitting in the pew. Why am I here? Why would it matter if I left? So what if your whole body was a foot or an ear or a nose? And it's comical, really, what Paul is suggesting, right? Like, it's just so absurd, so ridiculous. And Paul says, I want you to see and understand that it's ridiculous. You are significant, a significant part of this congregation, if you're a member of this congregation. It's very important. You're not a nobody. He talks about diversity in the same light. But now hath God set the members, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Beloved, we can't all be the same. Don't expect others to be like you. And we do that subtly, right? Without even thinking. Why do they think like that? Why do they act like that? I would never do that. I would never talk like that. I would never say those things. I would never do those things. And it's so obvious that they're wrong. No, now you want everybody to be like you. And I'm not talking about things that are sinful. If they're sinful, they should be addressed. But there are differences. They're just things that are done differently without being done wrong. Right? There's a very important distinction there. I can get to Calgary through Highway 2 or by Highway 21. One's longer, one is more scenic, one is shorter, faster, but they both get you there eventually. I'm not sure exactly where Highway 21. Anyway, you get my illustration. There's just different ways. Neither of those is wrong. So don't expect others to be like you, and don't expect others to think like you, except to think biblically. Right? That's our union, to think biblically, to think God's thoughts after them. That's our union. That's our being united. That's the purpose of exercising those gifts. Then Paul talks about necessity in verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So we can despise the gifts of others and say, well, I'm important in this church. I'm a pastor, I'm an elder, I'm a deacon, I carry some weight here. No, God has given special gifts, but they're not, some of them are more apparent than others, some of them have more responsibilities. All of them are necessary. That is how the church functions together. We need that dependence on each other. So, beloved, when I call you up or message you and say we missed you in church, I know people feel guilty, and you probably should feel guilty, but I really mean we missed you in church. There's something not right. There's something lacking. There's a contributor that is not present. We really do miss you. And you ought to view each other that way. It's not the same when you're not here. It's not just that we don't have the right number of people here. It's that you do minister to others, beloved. Every one of you, especially those who are members of this church, you minister to others in ways that you may not even realize. But you're trusting that God is using you. And God will use you to bless others. That ought to be the desire of your heart. That I want to be a blessing to those around me. When one part of your body fails, the other parts have to fill in. We know that. Physically, too, don't we? When people are blind, we hear their testimony that their other senses become more acute. Whether they develop blindness or whether they are born blind, everything else becomes more aware and fills in those other gaps. But we don't want parts that are missing if they don't need to be missing. In fact, you need the parts that you may think are more feeble, Paul says. They are necessary. And they need more attention. Your feet are inside your shoes all day. They're kind of stinky at the end of the day. They need attention. You have nose and ears that accumulate stuff that needs to be taken care of. It's kind of gross, isn't it? But that's how God made the body to function. We might feel uncomfortable talking about it, but that's the reality of life. And they need attention. You want to make sure you have a hanky or a Kleenex in your pocket to clear your nose every once in a while, because otherwise it's kind of gross. It needs more attention. Should we cut off our nose and say, well, it's just so much trouble to take care of it? Well, that would be stupid. No, it needs more attention. It needs more care. And those parts of the body that seem to be, to your estimation, less useful, you need to encourage them to be more useful. Minister to them even more. And that takes you outside again of your comfort zone and makes you just alert. What do others need? What can I do to help those around me? So there are these things that may be uncomfortable, but they are still necessary. And then finally, the care. You need to care for these things. John Calvin said, the parts that involve shame or are less comely are cared for by us with greater concern. So some parts need to be covered up. Some parts need to be cleaned up more diligently. But they're all necessary to the way our bodies function. And everyone in the church is necessary to the functioning of a congregation. And it's one of the reasons. Sometimes there's social reasons. When people leave, it hurts. But we're lacking something too. Something is missing. We need to have it made up. So we have the spiritual body, the church. We have the physical body that you and I each have. And we have a caring body. Paul talks about that in verses 24 to 27. He says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, beloved, don't be dissatisfied with the gifts that God has given you. Use them as He enables you. You may feel very conscious of restrictions or limitations or a narrow focus for your gift, but if God has given you those gifts, they're an essential part of the ministry of the body. And recognize you have significance in that body. Charles Simeon said, there should be no envying of those who occupy a higher station than we, nor any despising of those who are beneath us. Every member is useful in his place and necessary to the good of the whole. Indeed, if all were to sustain the same office, there would be no more a body. If all were an eye or an ear, it must soon cease to exist, for want of such powers as the other parts of the body supply. There is nothing in the body either superfluous or defective. Every part is needful. So if something happens to you so that you're limited in some way, isn't that to be received in the providence of the Lord? You still minister to God, minister to the congregation, to Christ's body, in the way that He has permitted you to do. Those things that are providential, that have befallen you, God uses in His own way as well. We have to value the diversity. Instead of wishing that everybody was like me, I have to value that people are different. And value their quirks, their personality differences. If you read the life of Rabbi Duncan, John Duncan, ministry to Jews, so loved the Jews, they called him Rabbi Duncan. And he was a strange guy. He was just a strange individual. But, the author kind of celebrates his quirkiness
And here we become irritated very often. That's just weird. And we let it grow to, and it can grow into a bitterness.
So we have to value that diversity. Charles Hodge said, no one is perfect or complete in itself. And no one can say to the others, I have no need of you. Each represents something that is not so well represented in the others. Each has its own function to exercise and work to perform, which could not so well be accomplished without it. Therefore, harmony and cooperation, sympathy and mutual affection are required between individual Christians as constituent members of Christ's body. We have to recognize that all the gifts are necessary. Matthew Henry said, God has so fitted and tempered them together that they are all necessary to one another and to the whole body. There is no part redundant and unnecessary. Every member serves some good purpose or other. It is useful to its fellow members and necessary to the good state of the whole body. All these quotes that are found in your bulletin talk about necessity, right? Talk about unity. Talk about the need. So we're to care for those who are feeble and less comely. So, beloved, don't wait for others to come and care for you. If you're waiting for someone to love you, someone to care for you, somebody to notice you, you're going to be waiting a long time. And it's never going to come in a way that's really agreeable to you. They just didn't do it good enough. It's demands being in the place of a master rather than a servant. But are you, beloved, looking actively for ways to care for others? What can I do to bless? What can I do to care? What can I do to minister? Well, I'm not an officer in the church. I've been called. I've been appointed to those things. It just requires the Spirit of Christ to care and to love for others. How's it going? How's your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? So begin today to care for others. What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord of glory, the head of the church, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, came to the earth. He said, I came not to be ministered unto. But he was Christ. He should have. He should have sat on a throne, by our estimation, right off the bat and said, come and bow before me and kiss my feet do me all kinds of obeisance. He didn't. He came not into the world to be ministered unto, but to minister. Came not to be served, but to serve. To serve others. The Lord of glory. And to give his life a ransom for many. Beloved, how are you saved today? You're saved by the blood of Christ. You're saved by the service, the love, the care, and the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ to your worthless soul. You have nothing in you that's lovely in God's eyes. Except, beloved, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of Christ. You have Christ dwelling in you. And that is affected. That's what affects God, right? His love for his own son. And we're image bearers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have nothing to commend ourselves to God except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What a great, intimidating image and example that is for us, beloved, to serve others, to care for the souls of others, to be members one of another. John Calvin said, nothing, however, is better fitted to promote harmony than this community of interest when everyone feels that by the prosperity of others, he is proportionally enriched and by their penury impoverished. Hence, what has been said respecting the nature and condition of the human body must be applied to us. For we are not a mere civil society, but being engrafted into Christ's body, are truly members one of another. Beloved, church membership is crucial
And the exercise of gifts and caring for one another is how the body works. We can all improve, beloved. We need Christ's help. We need the power of the Spirit. We need to be mindful of these principles constantly, that we can serve Christ as we serve one another and care for one another's souls. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we pray that Thou forgive us for our failings, even in ministering to one another. Lord, we are weak. We are reticent. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst grant unto us a true love and care for this congregation, which Thou hast purchased with Thine own blood. Lord, join us more intimately to one another, more joyfully to one another. We pray that we may long each other's presence, that we may long to be united in worship, week by week, hour by hour. Lord, we pray that Thou hast worked these things in us. We want to be a better church for Thee. We want to be a better testimony. We want to love one another more. Lord, help us. Help us. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.